I was out turkey hunting one day and I found five turkey gobblers sitting on a limb. I was puzzled for a few seconds just how I managed to kill all five of those turkeys in one shot with that rifle. I decided the only way would be to aim the limb at the bullet foot limb and hang the turkeys by the toes. So I did that. I aimed at the limb and fired. Sure enough, the bullet split limb and hung the turkeys by the toes. They were flopping and trying to get loose. I dashed up there and reached down for a stick to kill them with, and in a rush I picked up a rabbit, threw him down, and killed 12 quail. After I got my turkeys killed, I started tracing the bullet, where he went through bushes and cut off twigs. It wasn't long before I come to where he went through a deer and killed him. I kept tracing. After a while, I come to where he went through a bear and killed him. By that time, I was getting tired and hungry, but I decided we'd go a few steps further and see what else the bullet had done. And he went through a tree. It was a bee tree. Honey was flowing out on one side of the bullet hole and flapjacks on the other. I stopped there and got dinner, and on my way home, I met up with that same bullet with a drop of sweat on it hunting another bear. I went duck hunting one day. Of course, I had one of these old-timey stick-punching rag pile gun. It was a single-barrel, double-barrel, single-shot, double-barrel pump gun, I guess what you might call it. One of them kinds you had to cram from the front end. I'd been hunting for some time and hadn't found anything, and I sat down on the river banks to rest. And while I was sitting there, I heard something up the river above me, and looked, and there was 500-headed ducks lit down. I raised the gun to fire at the ducks. Just as I did, I heard something down the river below me, and looked, and there was 500-headed geese lit down. I decided I'd rather have geese than ducks. I changed the gun to fire at the geese. And just at that instant, I heard a hissing noise in front of me, and I looked down. There was a big rattlesnake. I decided I better shoot him first. I aimed at that snake's head and pulled both triggers. And that gun busted. The right-hand barrel went up the river and killed a 500-headed duck. The left-hand barrel went down the river and killed a 500-headed geese. The ramrod flew out and went through the snake's head. The stock kicked me back in the river, and when I crawled out, I had my breeches so full of fish till I bogged knee-deep on clay hammock trying to walk. I have a small little fish camp up there on the edge of the Oaks and Oak Swamp. Of course, we catch large fish. In other words, we do big things in a small way. There had a fella down there fishing not long ago, and he hooked a big fish, and the fish pulled and pulled, and he just gritted his teeth and held to the pole. Finally, the fish pulled him in and dashed with him, pulled him so fast he was skidding on top of the water, his breeches got so hot to caught a fire. He had to turn his pole loose and go to fighting fire and lost the fish. We never did learn what kind of a fish it was, but no, it wasn't a whale, because he's using a whale for bait. I was out of fishing one day, and one come up to get my bait, and when he opened his mouth to take the bait, the water all in the river running in his mouth, and if he hadn't have closed his mouth to spit the water out, I'd have had to lift the boat and walk back. I got to having pretty hard luck fishing. Not long ago, I was out fishing. I hooked a nice bass. He ran away down deep, went in a holler log. I couldn't get him out no other way, so I had to dive down there with an armful of dry leaves and smoke him out. I thought I'd tell you a little bit about the conveniences of my camp down there. We give them bed and board, and you can't tell the bed from the board. If you get thirsty during the night, you'll find a spring under the bed. If you get hungry, you can eat the jam off the door. Need a light in the room? Lift the pillar. It'll be light enough. If you want to practice any baseball, you find a pitcher on the table. If you find the bed to be a little too short, remember you add 2 extra feet to it when you crawl in it. If you find the bed to be a little buggy, and you have a nightmare, just hitch the buggy and go to ride. That reminded me of a dream I had not long ago. I dreamed I was eating angel food cake. And when I woke up, half my fella pillar was gone. It didn't make me sick, but I did feel down in the mouth. I have a farm down there, and of course we have rich soil. I raise most everything but watermelons. I can't produce any watermelons. The vines grow so fast to where the melon's out dragging them. I did hitch a vine so it couldn't run to where the melon's out and produce two melons. When it got ripe, I loaded them in a two-horse wagon and started to town. And before I got there, one of the melons rolled out of the wagon and busted. Both mules drowned it in watermelon juice, and I floated for 6 hours on one of the seed. One of my uncles is peg-legged, and he come down to see us one time. Of course, he has a good job now. He works in a bakery, punches holes in donuts. But while he's down to see us, he wanted to walk out in the field and look at the crop. Walking around that rich soil, of course, that peg-legged the sprout. The bushes growed out around him so thick, he had to back up to bat his eyes, and I trimmed sprouts for 3 days before he'd get back. I have a nice breed of hogs down there. They're known as speedy hogs. They got to be speedier than my neighbor. I don't have no hog. When I fatten one of them, I make breakfast bacon out of the whole hog. I have a fat streak and a lean streak all the way through it. The way I do that, I feed them every other day. If you feed one of them regular, he gets so fat, I have to push him into ribs and make him squeal so that I'll know which end to kill him at. I think I better tell you a few more things. We do have some awfully hard-blowing winds down there once in a while. Sometimes it'll blow so hard it'll take three men to hold one man's head on his shoulders. I was out one day milking the cow. There come a hard puff of that wind, blowed my cow away, left me sitting there holding the bag. It blowed all the sand out of my field and didn't leave a thing but the dust. It got to blowing down my fence, and I'd have to go rebuild it. It'd blow my fence down, and I'd have to go rebuild it. But finally, I bested that. I built my fence 3 foot high and 4 foot thick. And now when the wind comes and blows it down, it's 12 inches higher than it is when it's standing up. We did have an awful wind down there one time. It blowed all the cracks out of my rail fence, turned the wash pot the wrong side out, twisted the well so crooked we had to draw water to corkscrew, scattered the days in the week till Sunday come up late on Thursday evening. My camp is a good place to go for a rest and change. I get to change, and them guides around there get to rest. I did intend to sing a song for you folks, but I think the time is running out, and I reckon I better go away. It seemed like singing was going along pretty good, but do I have time to sing a short song?
It's a short one, sure. Go ahead.
I'll make it brief, sing it in a hurry. First night when I came home, I wanted to tell you, though, about this here song. This, you know, it has something to do with whenever I got married. It could have happened to someone else. The first night when I came home, I was drunk as I could be. I found a horse standing in the stable where my horse ought to be. You come here, my little wifey, explain this thing to me. How come a horse standing in the stable where my horse ought to be? You blind, drunk, half crazy fool, can't you never see? It's nothing but a milk cow your friend give to me. I've traveled this wide world over for 1,000 miles or more. Saddle upon a milk cow's back I never have seen before. Second night when I came home, drunk as I could be, I found a coat hanging on the rack where my coat ought to be. You come here, my little baby, explain this thing to me. How come a coat hanging on the rack where my coat ought to be? You blind, drunk, half crazy fool, can't you never see? It's nothing but a bed quilt your friend give to me. I've traveled this wide world over for 1,000 miles or more. Pockets upon a bed quilt I never have seen before. The third night when I came home, drunk as I could be, I found a head a-laying on the pillar where my head ought to be. You come here, my little honey, explain this thing to me. How come a head a-laying on the pillar where my head ought to be? You blind drunk, half crazy fool, can't you never see? It's nothing but a cabbage head your friend gave to me. I've traveled this wide world over for 1,000 miles or more, and mustache on a cabbage head I never have seen before.
Good night, folks.
Cousin Lem Griffiths from way up in the Okefenokee Swamp. Now we have some beautiful whistling coming up. If you haven't heard this by Cousin Jack Parker from way down Orlando, you've really got a treat in store. So, Cousin Jack, we'll turn it over to you. All you boys and girls out there, watch him real close now and learn how to whistle, okay? Thank you, Cousin Jack Parker. Make a special announcement now for this special presentation we have coming up by the Gainesville Little Theater. That is, whistling, hissing, and applause are not prohibited. We have a special production by the Little Theater Group in Gainesville of the title, Will the Suwannee Change Its Course, or Where There's a Wheel, There's a Way? And I will read you the cast very hurriedly, and we'll get underway. The Widow Scattergood is played by Thelma Bolton. The heroine, Melissa Angelina Scattergood, played by Louise Walker. The hero, Willie Stoutheart, by David Lane. The villain, Roderick Blackstone, by John Reynolds. Property man, Roland Hussey. Mood music, David Stryker. Smoke and other effects, Carlene Hussey. The Jenny Bly design, Vivian Holbrook. Costumes, Clara Fernandez. Makeup, Kenneth Lane. Construction, Lois McMullen. Painting, Lois McMullen, Lillian Ford. Will the Suwannee change its course, or where there's a wheel, there's a way?
Of the Widow Scattergood and Melissa Angelina, the pride of maidenhood. Here once was joy and laughter, but now that daddy's gone, mother and daughter sorrow, penniless and alone. There flows the sweet Suwannee, between her moss-clad trees, and the paddle steamer, Jenny Bly, sails in the gentle breeze. Comes now one Willie Stoutheart, the hero of our play, and dark-browed Roderick Blackstone, to work a villain's way. On life's slow-moving river, the wheel of fortune turns, to prove that the sweet old Suwannee strange courses ever spurns.
Melissa Angelina! Melissa Angelina! Where are you, darling daughter? If her father were alive, God rest his soul. She would have been here 5 minutes ago. Oh, the misery I've suffered since that poor man, God rest his soul, was taken. I wonder what he'd say if he knew I'd had to mortgage the house and sell everything but the Jenny Bly. But perhaps it's just as well. Maybe he does know, and it's just as well that we can't hear what he's saying. Melissa Angelina. Oh, those tears I see upon your sweet young cheek.
Oh, I'm so unhappy.
Oh, tell me all.
He's gone. I shall never see him again. Gone without a word.
Who's gone?
Willie. Oh, I mean, Mr. Stouthart. Oh, Mama.
Are those blushes I see upon your cheek? Tell me all.
Oh, I find Mr. Stouthart so congenial. So
point is, how does Mr. Stouthart find you?
He's gone, and he's not made his declaration.
Oh, the miserable man. Think of all the suppers he's eaten in our house. But hush, my darling daughter. Dry those tears. Your mother is sure that you are wrong. Willie Stouthart is poor but honest, and I'm sure he has but gone to seek his fortune and will return to lay it at your feet.
Oh, dear mother, you've given me renewed hope.
I'm sure of it. I'm sure our fortune is changing. I have news for you.
Yes, dear mother?
A fine gentleman, Mr. Roderick Blackstone, has paid me such a good price for that parcel of land down by the river, that parcel that even your sainted father, God rest his soul,
amen,
was ne'er able to sell. Such a good price.
How much?
Hush, child. Too much. I mean, more than enough to make a payment on the mortgage.
Oh, Jenny Bly will be back at any moment. Mm-hmm. And who knows, Mr. Stouthart may return aboard her.
Oh, take this to the bank and deposit it with Mr. Sweet.
I go. Hope gushes in my heart like water in the springtime.
Villain, I roam, still looking for a situation to steal the folks from their home. I bought the widow's land, and now her boat carries my cargo of gunpowder. I shall blow a sinkhole at that spot and suck the Swanee underground. Then, when this river has changed its course and flows into the Wakasasa, I'll sell the 1,000 acres of the bay for an enormous profit.
I've done a noble job of getting information. The Indian agent has promised me a steady salary, for evidence of villainy about the Bacon plot. I've trailed the villains three from Tampa to Apalachicola and hasten now to get my fair reward. If Melissa Angelina consents to be my bride, we'll build a house and wait for little feet to patter on the stairs.
Is that the Jenny Bly? Safe and sound and all is well.
Richer and wiser, I arrive upon my native shore.
Gunpowder is safe ashore. I trust that none heard the clanking in the bale that must seem an innocent cargo of cotton.
Where is Melissa Angelina?
Greetings, Mistress Scattergood.
Oh, Mr. Blackstone, this is indeed a pleasure. Didst note a fearsome clanking when the cotton was unloaded?
You have a shrewd head and a sharp ear, madam. There are few who could outwit Roderick Blackstone over the price of land. And now you alone have heard the clanking in the cotton. I must take you into my confidence. Government secrets are safe in your hands. Not a word to a soul, or the Indians will be about our ears, and no scalp will be safe.
Your secret is safe with me, Mr. Blackstone.
Mistress Scattergood, I know not yonder gentleman, although he looks familiar. However, I must warn you, in these perilous days, keep no secrets with strangers.
Willie! Mr. Starthart!
Miss Melissa Angelina, long has my heart beaten only for you. Now at last the day has dawned when I may venture to lay both heart and fortune at your feet. Miss Scattergood, will you be mine?
Oh, Mr. Starthart, this is so sudden. Little did I dream.
Miss Scattergood, all will be ashes in my mouth unless you give me the answer I crave.
Oh, Mr. Starthart, I've always... How can I answer yes with proper modesty? Mr. Starthart, Willie... I'm so young.
Let me speak directly to your mother.
Yonder beauteous creature, the widow's daughter? Ah, I must change my plan and win both the maiden and my prophet.
Madam, I wish to lay my heart and fortune at your daughter's feet.
Oh, Mr. Stoutheart. Oh, this comes as a great surprise. Are you prepared to support my daughter in the fashion to which her daddy, God rest his soul, accustomed her?
I have ventured and won a steady salary. Grant me your daughter's hand, and I will be the happiest man in all of Terra Florida.
Mr. Stoutheart, I have long known and loved you like the sun. You have a permission to woo my daughter's heart and hand.
Mother!
Son! This is indeed a happy day.
Oh, I'm the happiest girl alive. The Jenny Bly has returned laden with cotton. And you, dear mother, have sold the land to that fine gentleman.
What clanked in the cotton? That dark stranger and his secrets cry out for investigation. Furthermore, I mislike the way his greedy eyes regard my promised bride.
Go and wander by the river, but return to the stockade before the shades of evening fall.